name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory. We bless your holy name. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into this atmosphere. Speak to our hearts, O God. Let the entrance of your word bring clarity to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Acts chapter number 2. You may be seated. God bless you. Welcome to church. Oh, I said welcome to church. Are you alive this evening? All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. Bible says that, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. And to breaking of bread. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread with in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Hallelujah. And I want us to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 14 to 16. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. A city built or a city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Father, I pray that you breathe your fresh breath upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We started talking about the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. Every country, let me use the United Kingdom where we are as an example. The United Kingdom has embassies all over the world. Every country that is named has an embassy of the United Kingdom represented there. And the reason for the embassy, the reason or the purpose of the embassy in that place is so that the values, the interests of the United Kingdom can be represented in the place. Does that make sense? So the first duty of the embassy or the ambassador, who is the one in charge, is to promote the values of United Kingdom in the foreign country where they are. Note that embassies are not in the home country. In other words, you don't have the British High Commission in England. Does that make sense? The British High Commission is in the foreign land. In the same way, the Church of God is an embassy that is in a foreign land. Let me say it another way. There's no church in heaven. Are you getting where I'm going with this? There's no church in heaven. Why? Because heaven is the home country. So there's no church in heaven. The church is the foreign land, which is the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This world is a foreign land where the church is concerned. And just like any embassy, when the ambassador or the embassy loses focus and they lose the reason or the purpose for which they have been brought to the country they represent, and they begin to promote the values of the country rather than the country they are supposed to represent, immediately you want to remove them. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say.
if you have an ambassador or an embassy that is failing to promote the values of the country that they are supposed to represent, then you have to recall them. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. When the purpose of the church goes off, then the church is not worth representing the home country, which is heaven. So it's very important that we find out and we get to understand the purpose of the church so that we don't go off. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? So we started talking about the purpose of the church, the purpose of the church of God on the earth. Why did Jesus find it necessary to establish his church? In Matthew 16, 18, it says that, "And you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen. And when he was leaving, when he was on the earth, he said that, "You are the salt and you are the light of this world." Which means that you are supposed to do something. Salt does something to the food. Any food that has no salt has no taste. Are you okay? You are very quiet today. Any food that does not have salt does not have taste. When there's no light in the room, there is something missing. You cannot operate effectively in a dark room. So it is very essential that you have light, at least, if not all the light, at least one or two must be on there to make progress or for us to be able to operate in the room. In the same way, without the church of God, there won't be light on the earth. Which means that we will not be able to operate well. Human beings, people will not be able to operate well without the light of God. What Jesus was trying to make us all understand is that the church is very, very important. The church is very, very crucial on the earth. Unfortunately, we in the church have majored on the minor things and minored on the major things. For instance, instead of brightening the room, we are coloring the room. And so the real essence of light is lost. I don't know whether you are trying to understand. It's not about the colors. It's about brightening the place. I was trying to get Daniel to concentrate on the light. He was concentrating on camera. Do you understand? Because without light, we cannot operate effectively. Not with that camera. You see how we major on things that don't matter and leave things that matter. I don't know whether you are understanding. You are too quiet for me today. I'm just using a practical example for you to understand. And that is how the church of God is. We major on things that really God is not focusing on. When we are supposed to focus on what God is focusing on. Because see, when you are an ambassador and you don't represent the country well, you are recalled immediately. There was an ambassador in a country, beginning with G. And that ambassador became so engrossed in the culture of the country, in the food of the country, in the politics of the country, that he was meddling in the things that didn't matter. He was doing things that he was not asked to do. He was more interested in, the musicians, chatting with them, going here, doing this, going there. Immediately, England said, "Come out from there." They recalled him one time and they put him behind a desk in London. Because he was doing everything but represent. At the point, he felt he was the prime minister of the country that he had gone to. Or he had another political party in the country. He was actually representing the country elsewhere rather than the country that sent him. And that is how we are as the church. We have become so engrossed in the world system that instead of propagating the gospel to the world, we are propagating the world system to the church. I don't know. I'm preaching better than you're amening. So you find everything in the world in the church, and not everything in the church inside the world. Am I making sense? Yeah, we have got our lines twisted and crossed. So that the main thing is no longer the main thing. The main thing is being relegated, and we are doing everything. Now the church is an empowerment center. Now the church is a place where we promote well-being. Now the church is where we promote, we pamper people. Which is the minor thing. I'm not saying that is wrong, but it's not a major thing. So you see, before Jesus said that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, he said to the disciple, who do men say that I am? I want to first of all understand whether you understand your mission on earth. So he was telling them that, what do you think my mission here is? Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are one of the prophets. He said, fair enough. I don't really care about what they say. But you, who do you say that I am? Because who you say I am matters. Because when I leave, you will be the one who will be representing me. So you should know who I am and what I'm about. Go to verse 15, 13 to 15, thereabout. We are in Matthew 16. Quickly. So Jesus came from the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? We are reading quickly, son. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he said to them, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Then Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this has not been revealed by flesh and blood, but by my heavenly Father. Then he goes on to say that you are Peter, on this rock, on this revelation, on this understanding, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. On this understanding, that is where I'm going to build my church. On this revelation, does the church still have the revelation and understanding of God? Or have we lost it? I was saying this morning, why do we have the church? Is it for christening, for baby dedication, for for funerals, for weddings? To wear your nice clothes, to come and look for boys, to come and look for girls. Is that the reason why the church is? It sounds funny, but that is why some people go to church. Some people go to church because when they die, they want to be buried by the church. Yeah. Very important reason. Recently, I went to visit my mom. And after everything, we sat down. She says that she wants to review her will, and she wants me to look at the will. And then I've never read anything eerie like that. Say that when I die, and she lists, I want you to do A, B, C, D, E. And she listed everything, including the hymns that should be sung. The scripture that should be read. And she just gave instruction. And she put my name there. Say, sign here. I was like, this thing is, you know. I called Pastor Gloria. I said, this thing. I had dried, you know, your throat is dry reading this. He said, put your signature here. So I signed it, then the lawyer signed, then she also signed. Say, hey. From the day, the minute I hear she's dead, what I should do is listed, including the department, the church, and this, and the scriptures, the... See, when you know what you... There's somebody who knows what she wants. She doesn't want to be misrepresented. She doesn't want somebody to go and take some... Because if you don't write it down, somebody will do some... somebody will bring something to come and do something else. Yeah. So you see, Jesus was very, very elaborate and meticulous when he was saying what he wanted. This is my church. It's not your church. That's why he was very, very clear. That you are Peter. On this revelation, I will build my church, not your church. So never get it twisted. The church is not yours. The church is mine. And if it is mine, then my will must be done, not your will. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's his church. It's not our church. So we must do what he says, not what we are saying. Yeah. God, if you leave me, to the how many days she wants to be in the mortuary, how many days she wants, she's listed everything. And she said, and she put my name, said, you are in charge. I want you to be in charge of burying me. I said, hey, and what you must do? And then finish, sign here. If you like, don't do it. And the lawyer too signed. After I went to drink. Me and the lawyer went to drink Amaro after that. And she was like, your mother is a very strong woman, you know that. This is a 90-year-old woman. She was not messing about with everything. She was like, do it this way, do it that way, do it this way. I don't want this, I don't want this. I want these people to be here. I want them to do this, you see. Just as you did for your sister, yes. The dancing, they must put it there. Yeah. Hallelujah. As finite as it is, I believe Jesus wants more. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he didn't leave anything to chance. There was no ambiguity in what he said. When he was going, he says that, I am going, but I'm sending you. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Make disciples of me. And he said that wherever you're going, lo, I am with you where you go. Wherever you go, I am going to be with you. So the church is not supposed to be a staying church. It's supposed to be a standing church. It's a going church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But we have changed into a staying church. Yes, we don't like. So you see, when you are here and you are being transferred, you see right now you rise up and say, why are you sending me away? Because we feel that we are supposed to be a staying church. Oh, you didn't read the scripture? Yeah, Matthew 28. The scripture says what? Go. It didn't say stay. Mark 16:15. Quickly.
You have signed. Just remember you signed. He said to them, go. Did you see the word? He said what? Go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creature, all creation. The first, we said the first duty of the church is what? Go. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, and the Bible says, and how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, who went about. Did you see? The past tense of go is what? Went. So he goed about. My English is not working this evening. But I say that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who goed about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. He didn't stay. He went. And he said to us, don't stay. Go. So the church is supposed to be wenting around. I think I'm preaching better. The church is supposed to be wenting around. Could it be the reason why the Holy Spirit has left the church? Because if he says go, and you're not going. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about. So if he has anointed you and you are not going, then what's the use of his power and his spirit? So you stay in your room and be happy. I am going. If you won't go, I will go. So he has gone and left us here to jollificate. Hallelujah. So if we want more power, if we want more of the Holy Ghost, then we have to start going. You didn't like that one. Yeah, because that is the way to get power and the spirit back into the church. Because he went about. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was with him and power was with him. So if we want the Holy Spirit to be with us and power to be on us, then we need to obey. As long as the ambassador remains in post doing what he has been mandated to do, the power and the backing of the United Kingdom is upon him. Until he starts eating local dishes and moving with local musicians and talking local politics instead of doing what he was supposed to be doing. I mean, he was the only ambassador who was interested in the football that is being played between the local league, local teams. You won't see any other ambassador dealing with local things. You know, but the church is behaving like this ambassador I'm talking about. Interested in local league, interested in local dishes, local musicians. Who is more, who is better, this singer or that singer, which one he prefers. And then the newspaper is carrying it that this ambassador says that this one is better than that one. I haven't mentioned anybody's name. Quickly, they say, hey, you come, you are useless. Come here, come and sit behind the desk here. They removed him quickly because he was not no longer representing the values of the country that sent him. Hallelujah. Last week, let me preach my message. People are trying to take me off my message. Last week, I gave you a few purposes of the church. What was the first one? The first one is to go. Evangelism. Number two, we are supposed to signpost the city to God. To tell the whole city the light, a city that is set on the hill, a light that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. The church must not be hidden. We must signpost the people to God. When people are looking for God, they must come to the church. Hallelujah. We shouldn't wait for 9/11. They say in America, when 9/11 happened, the churches were full. Out of fear, the churches were full. As soon as 9/11 passed, the churches are empty again. Because the church has stopped being a signpost. What was the next one we talked about? A lens through which we see God clearly. And last week I was saying that the lens, the beauty of the lens must not be what we focus on. Do you understand? We should focus on making the image clearer for the people to see. We must be strong lens. We must be the right lens for people to see. And I use the difference between the lens Pastor Gloria has and my lens. When I wear hers, I feel dizzy. I won't try Pastor Sam's. Because Pastor Sam's will make me go blind. Now they are competing to see who is worse. Look at these people. Anyway, so what was the next one? Is a classroom, make disciples of me. Hallelujah. We are supposed to make disciples of him. Amen. To make disciples means to train. That's what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to train us to become good disciples. Amen. Number 5. Okay. So the purpose of the church is to help retain converts. The purpose of the church is to help retain converts. So the church is only a classroom for converts. In John chapter 15, he says that verse 6 is there, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to be a priest, and that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. All right? Go back to it. Let's see. Go back. Let's read it properly. Beginning of 16. He says that you did not choose me. I chose you. If I chose you, then it means that my purpose counts more than yours. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I have 3 options and I choose this one, there must be a reason why I chose this one and not that one and not that one. So my purpose counts. Are you with me? Not your purpose. It's mine. Because I chose, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So if I chose you, then what I want you to do is more paramount than what you want to do. So you did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you. I didn't just choose you. I chose you and I promoted you. If I promoted you, then I must have given you a job description. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if I appoint you, I give you a job. And you don't know what job I've given you. And you start work on Monday. And you come and sit around. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sit around for 2 weeks. The 3rd week, you don't have a job. Why? Because you don't know why you were appointed. You haven't bothered to find out what your job description is. See, I've got a job. What are you here to do? Well, I don't know. All I know is that I've been employed. There's something wrong with you. Are you with me? So there's something wrong with the church. If the church doesn't know why we were apprehended, that is why Paul said that I don't count myself to have achieved and apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget everything and I press on towards the prize of the mark of the high calling that I may
apprehend the reason why I was apprehended. Because I need to apprehend. For me to be effective, I need to be to apprehend why I was chosen and called. Because if I can know why I was chosen and called, then I can be more effective. Amen. Are you okay with me? Yeah. Go back to verse 13. Say, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. So he's saying that now that you have been chosen, you must understand that greater love has no man than this, that you lay down your life for a friend. Just as I laid my life down for you, you must lay your life down for others. Am I making sense? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the church is not about you feeling comfortable. Should I say that again? The church is not about us feeling comfortable. The church is about us laying down our lives for others. Which means that when people come in, it is our duty to lay down our comfort for them to be here and to be comfortable to find a home in this place. Are you with me? So we must be a hub for new converts to find a home. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. He says that go into the world, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word baptizing means to initiate into a family. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I baptize you, I am initiating you into the family. Which means that you were aliens, you were foreigners. You were not of the family of God. But Christ died and he called you and he baptized you and made you joint heirs with the Father. So now you have the same surname as Christ. Why? Because you have been baptized into the baptism of the family of God. Are you with me? So when we do baptism, we are baptizing them into the family where we are, which means that this is supposed to be a family where others come and they feel the sense of belonging. And who needs to create that place? You and I. Hallelujah. Last week I was using the example of the musicians. That they need to create that atmosphere where every musician that comes feels part of the family. Which will mean that you may be the best keyboard player, but sit down. Let that one who is not so good play. Because this is not the recording studio where one of the most talented, the most gifted to be the one to produce the best sound. No, no, no. It's the place where we are home. We are family. Am I making sense? The way you are quiet and looking at me, you are looking at me as if you don't get it. Do you get it? Okay. Yeah. So we need to become sticky. I said to you the last time that our cementing, because we are all different blocks. But what makes us a home is the stickability of our cement. I don't know whether my English is working. You know, when you have a pile of bricks, it's not a home. What makes the pile of bricks become a home is the cement that molds the bricks together. Then it converts them from being a pile of bricks into a house where people can stay in. Does that make sense? So your being friendly is what moves the church from a pile of bricks into
a home.
Your being accommodating is the thing that transforms the church from being a pile of rubble, a pile of blocks, into a home. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you start ism and scheming and having these isms and schisms and saying that, no, we like this person, we don't like this person, we like this group, we don't like that group, you are destroying the stickability of the church. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah. But you see, most churches, when you go, you see all this, we don't like this person, we like this person, we don't like this person, we don't like, because we don't understand why we are a church. We don't understand what Jesus said, that you have to lay down your life. You're laying down your life means that lay down your preferences, lay down all those your isms and schisms, that natural proclivity to become quarrelsome and to become, you know, partisan. Lay down, form a home where new converts can find a sense of belonging. Amen. So that when they come, they are comfortable. They can stay. Because this is the home. Yeah. Hallelujah. When somebody joins the church and they are doing a wedding, you take it on like your sister is doing a wedding. Greater love has no man than this. Than a man to lay down your Saturday, lay down your comfort zone to organize somebody's wedding. Why? Because they are a member of your family. How did they become a member of your family? Because they've been baptized. Oh, you don't get it.
We get it.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. The way people are behaving, I don't know whether you are with me or not. Daniel has put my light off, so I can't see to read the notes. All right, where are we? Number 6. So we said help to retain converts, right? The next one, the purpose of the church is to demonstrate how redeemed people live in a community. We need to demonstrate our sense of community or communal belonging. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to the breaking of bread. Isn't that right? And to prayer. They had, move on to the next verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. Next verse. They were together and had everything in common. Do you see that? That is a sense of community, a sense of belonging. They were practicing living heaven on earth. You see that it is, the scripture says no one had need, because those who had riches or wealth would sold their properties and distributed or shared it with those who didn't have. What was that all about? It was to create a sense of communal living. Any church that is able to replicate this, that church becomes a contagious church and grows. In my book, The Contagious Church, I base the whole book on this 4 verses. Yeah. The reason why the church of God has become quarantined is because we have lost these from verse 42 to verse 46. We have lost it. So the church has become the opposite of contagious. We have become quarantined. That is why I say, I go to ABC church, I go to EFG church, I go to CDY church, I go to BWY church, I go to MM Zion church. Why? Because we don't even understand the whole communal and that body, the creation of the body, we've lost it. So we become very quarantined, very partisan, very insular, very inward looking. Are you with me? We become like football teams.
Except Man United.
We become like football teams. Hallelujah. Can you stop? Where was I before somebody disturbed me? See, when she's preaching, I never do that. But anytime I'm preaching, we need to learn to live in a community. Are you with me? A community is filled with families, brothers and sisters living together in unity. That's what Psalm 133 says, that how good and pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity, and describes it. And the very last verse, phrase, for there the Lord commands his blessing, even life forevermore. Which means that the life, true life, true essence, true nature of heaven on earth is distributed to people that live in harmony. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Number 7, quickly. The church is a place where we teach how to look after the vulnerable. We teach others how to look after the vulnerable. In Matthew 25, says that in the last day, the king will rise up and he will separate the goats from the sheep. And he will say, enter you, blessed of the Father. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, take your inheritance. And for the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Quickly. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did you see you thirsty and do all this for you? And he said, just as you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it for me. Hallelujah. That is supposed to be one of the main duties of the church. Have you not seen that we don't do that? We do everything else but to look after the vulnerable. At least 30% of the main duty of the church, the early church, was this. Taking care of the vulnerable. Any church that, I wrote in the book that any church that practices this becomes a contagious church. Why? It's because the world is full of people that are in need. There was a guy who started a church in Ukraine, and in his book, he says that this scripture was one of the main things that the Lord gave him to practice. So he became like an advocate for people who have just come from prison, people who are addicted to drugs and everything. He started looking after these people, looking after, gathering them to the church. And that was the main focus of the church. All his leaders were ex-junkies who now became members of the government. I'm talking about, what's the guy called again? Sunday Adeleja, Embassy of God. He built the biggest church in Europe. Why? Because when you practice, when you do what the one who sent you gave you to do, immediately he gives you power. Immediately he gives you the Holy Spirit. And immediately you become effective. When you do what you think and not what he sent you to do, there's no power. There's no spirit. You're on your own. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Yeah. The church has lost our purpose. We've lost our what is it called? When they employ you, they give you your job description. And you are supposed to follow it. When you follow your job description, you follow it well, you become a candidate for promotion. Isn't that right? Because when you are doing what you have been, they call something key, or KPM, KPIs, key performance index. So when they see that you have your performance, they start taking it. This one, that one, that one, that one, that one. All the targets are being met. Immediately when promotion comes, they put your name forward. They do appraisal and they say that you are a candidate for promotion. You have earned your bonus. You have earned this. Yeah. But if you are not meeting the KPIs, they will mind you. In fact, when they come to laying off staff, they put your name as a candidate to be laid off. Why? Because you are not meeting the KPIs. Are you with me? So when the churches are being put on KPIs by heaven and they are checking, they will check your key performance indicators. You see, the church is busy doing things. But the things that the church is doing is not what we've been asked to do. The people who don't meet the KPIs, don't they come to work at 9 a.m.? Don't they finish at 5? They dress, they do everything. Why don't they meet the key performance? Is it that they come and twiddle their thumb all day? No, they are working, but they are majoring on minor things and minoring on major things. That is why they don't hit any of the key KPIs. Are you with me? Just like the church, we are busy. We are busy with the wrong things. Then we become very competitive. Have you not realized those who don't meet KPIs, they are the ones that lead the gossip. They are the ones that are always bringing partisanship into the place. They are the ones who are always agitated with people who are doing well. When you start criticism of the boss, they are the first to start the criticism. Those who don't do anything, they are the ones who have something to say. The churches that don't do anything, they are the ones that lead the criticism of churches who are doing something. They are the ones who start, hey, they should have done this. They should have, you, what are you doing? Amen. Let's do the last one, then we'll go home. The purpose of the church is to provide a place to break bread. An atmosphere of friendliness. See, if you start a ministry, you start a church, and you can create this atmosphere where we break bread, your church will grow. The problem we have with this is that it is also a breeding ground for Satan. The answer is a place, it creates the atmosphere for Satan to infiltrate. But when people start eating and they belly full, they start talking nonsense. You know, I said something the other day that when you eat, your guards go down. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why when people want to get to propose to you, they take you for a dinner and they give you 5-course meal. Then you eat belly full. Then they say, that would you marry me? By that time, all your guards are down. Your what if are all lost. Then you say yes. Yeah. If you want somebody to sign a contract, take them to a very nice posh hotel or posh restaurant and give them food to eat and put a paper in front of them. They will sign it right now. It's also a place where when people eat, their guards are down. You can preach the gospel to them. Full gospel
used this particular thing, verse, to create a whole ministry. They'll bring you in and give you big breakfast to eat. As soon as you finish eating the breakfast with a lot of fries, eggs and sausages and bacon, they give you all that. When they finish, then they say that Jesus said, in fact, they don't even say Jesus, they tell me, I used to be an armed robber. Today, look at me. The Lord has, they give their testimony and they say that the Lord can do the same for you. That's all. You will see that a lot of people are worn through that. I told Pastor Sam, create a ministry like that. He didn't mind me. I told him, you call them full businessmen. Let them just they come, they do business, they go and eat. Put Alfred in charge. He knows how to organize nice food like that for people to come and eat their belly full. When they finish, we'll give share testimony. All of us in this room have testimonies. Don't we have testimonies? So just share your testimony. Today is your turn. The next is Tina's turn. Then it's Shawnee's turn. By the time we finish, and then you take the microphone and say, as you've heard, the difference is Jesus Christ. After you've eaten my food, can you come? They will come. But the church today, we have become so miserly, we won't give food to anybody. That's why they don't mind us. Oh, you don't like what I'm saying? Yeah. Remember, when we are not doing what Jesus did and what Jesus sent us to go and do, he withdraws his power and he withdraws his spirit and we are left on our own. I pray that he will not withdraw his power on us. And you will not take his spirit away from us. Stand to your feet.